Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from a study of Ezekiel. It's part four, Judgments on Judah's Neighbors. We talked about Tyre last time. Usually when you hear about Tyre in the New Testament and other places, it's linked with Sidon, Tyre and Sidon. Well, here's a little bit about Sidon from Ezekiel, from God to Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 20 to 24. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Set your face towards Sidon, and prophesy against her, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will manifest my glory in your midst. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her, and manifest my holiness in her. For I will send pestilence into her, and blood into her streets, and the slain shall fall in her midst, by the sword that is against her on every side. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And for the house of Israel, there shall be no more a briar to prick or a thorn to hurt them among all their neighbors who have treated them with contempt. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. Though a great city of itself, it's remembered historically as the partner city of Tyre, with which it's associated almost exclusively by New Testament writers. Sidon, or Zidon, with a Z in the King James, is addressed by four other prophets. The judgment that's due Tyre will be coming equally to Sidon. Unger's Bible Dictionary informs us that, like Tyre, Sidon was located on an island, later connected to the mainland by a bridge. It was 20 miles north of Tyre and still exists as a place called Saida in Lebanon. It was actually the capital of the Phoenician Empire before Tyre. In fact, the Phoenicians were known as Sidonians for about 300 years. Ethbaal I, the father of Jezebel and priest of the Baal worship so prominent in that territory, was known as the king of the Sidonians. Sidon was captured by the Assyrian Shalmaneser shortly before the northern kingdom of Israel fell to those Assyrians in 721 BC. When the Babylonians conquered Assyria, Sidon continued to be enslaved. Alexander reconquered it centuries later. During Roman and New Testament times, it had regained some of its importance. Jesus and Paul both visited the territory in the first century. Jesus spoke of the wickedness of the place, knowing that he himself had been involved in its judgment hundreds of years earlier. A very old city it is, named originally after its founder, a son of Canaan, in Genesis 10:15. And like other of the sons of Canaan, the Sidonians were early and often oppressors of Israel. Hence the reference here to briars, pricks, and thorns aggravating the people of the land of Israel. Pestilence, say the commentators, is the natural outcome of the siege mounted by Nebuchadnezzar. As to the blood in the streets and the sword on every side, commentator Gill says this was literally fulfilled in Zidon, either by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army, which besieged it on every side, or by Artaxerxes Ochus, the Persian, who took it and destroyed it. We might add Alexander to that list of Sidon's destroyers. When all these things came to pass, Sidon and all those around her knew that Yahweh was the Lord. How soon we forget until something like this has to happen to us. We now proceed to Egypt, where God dictates to the prophet his most detailed message of coming trouble, a prophecy, another lamentation, and a specific message to the Pharaoh. Let's go to Egypt now. Ezekiel's words to Israel's surrounding enemies began with the relatively small nations, Ammon, Moab, Edom, family members of Israel in the past, spared for the longest time because of their connection to the covenant people of God, and Philistia, a constant thorn in Israel's side. Then a major word to a major presence of Ezekiel's day, Tyre and Sidon. But we've now come to the larger threat still. Other than Babylon itself, Egypt was the power to deal with during the days of Ezekiel's ministry. And deal with it, God does, very thoroughly. And what of Great Babylon, you say? Why is Babylon not singled out for judgment? Oh, it is, but not by this prophet. Jeremiah was the man assigned to this task, and a mystery known as Babylon is still addressed in our future by John the Apostle. But for now, Egypt. Babylon will be the means of judging all these other places, and then Babylon itself will be judged later. But who were the Egyptians? Of all the nations addressed thus far, Egypt is no doubt the most known to us. I won't go into great detail about its history, but a quick review of the main points might be helpful. As stated earlier, the reference to Mizraim in Genesis 10 is where we must start. Mizraim is Egypt in modern translations and in most King James renderings also. Egypt was Noah's grandson through Ham, along with Canaan and Cush. It's obvious that the ancestors of this son make up much of the trouble Israel has faced through the centuries, the son of Ham, son of Noah, named Ham. Though most moderns use the Greek renderings of the name, there are still those who know Egypt as Mizra. The ancient Canaanites called the land Mizri, following the Hebrew for Ham's son, Mizraim. The ancient land of Egypt consisted of a 10-mile-wide strip following the Nile River and the resultant delta at the Mediterranean. The rest of what has been known as Egypt is desert. The history of the dynasties and the pyramids and all those things we consider Egyptian must be for another writer to cover. Let us come to the time when Egypt's past intersects with the scriptures. According to Unger, though not word for word, it was early in the period known as Dynasty 12, the Middle Kingdom. This was from 1900 to 1775 BC, when Abraham went into Egypt. In the 1800s BC came Jacob and his family during that same period. In the 18th dynasty, the 1400s, was the Exodus from Egypt. Solomon makes a marital contract with Egypt during his reign. But in the days of his son Shishak of Egypt, overruns and plunders Israel and Judah. Egypt was a sometime friend. And later still in Israel's history, Egypt became a prop upon which the Jews rested. In the fading days of Israel's kingdom, Israel began to look to Egypt, the Egypt from which God had so wonderfully delivered her, as a place to hide as the wrath of God gathered in the skies. A large settlement of Jews would later be found in Ptolemaic Egypt, after Alexander's conquests. But to the present prophecy, why is God angry with Egypt in the 500s BC? And how is the pride of the Pharaoh to be addressed? We'll talk about that now. In chapter 29, verses 1 through 6, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his streams, that says, My Nile is my own, I made it for myself. Well, I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your streams stick to your scales. And I'll draw you up out of the midst of your streams with all the fish of your streams that stick to your scales. And I will cast you out into the wilderness, you and all the fish of your streams. You shall fall on the open field and not be brought together or gathered. And to the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the heavens I give you as food. And then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord. Well, put simply, the accusation of heaven through Ezekiel is that Pharaoh is so arrogant that he dares to call himself the owner of God's creation, the maker of the created things. Pharaoh is called here the great dragon. Most agree that this refers to the crocodile of the Nile River, a proud, threatening creature, if ever there was one, a fit prophetic symbol to match some of the pharaohs. Ellicott, the commentator, comments, this is characteristic of the pride of Hophra, who was also called Apris, the fourth king of the 26th dynasty of Egypt. This was the pharaoh of the day. Hophra, who, according to Herodotus, was accustomed to say that not even a god could dispossess him of power. The whole dynasty to which he belonged, beginning with Psammeticus, improved the river and encouraged commerce with foreign nations, thereby acquiring great wealth. This Hophra reigned from 589 to 570 BC, at the very time of Ezekiel's prophecies. It's obvious that his pride was to become his destruction. The crocodile is to be taken out of the Nile, along with many of his fellow creatures, driven into a wilderness and caused to fall in a field and eventually to die. Now, how literal is the fulfillment of this somber word as recorded by commentator Benson? Quote, for there seems to be here an allusion to the heavy loss which Apris, or Hophra, and the Egyptian army sustained in his expedition against the Cyrenians, toward whom they must have marched over the desert. Apris himself did not fall in battle, but was taken prisoner by Amasis and strangled by the Egyptians. Taken out of Egypt to march against an enemy, suffered to be defeated by that enemy, and then killed, just like God had said. Well, we'll leave it there today, a little bit shorter than normal. Again, hard reading here. Not reading maybe so much, but for you to be taking all of this in every day, all the difficult things that God is doing or going to do as he speaks to Ezekiel here. This is tough reading. I keep wanting to remind you that part five is coming. Restoration is coming. Speaking of part five is available to you now at Amazon.com, or just click on store here. And Ezekiel 1 through 5, that's all five of them together in one volume. I've done that too, and you're able now to purchase that. Just go to the store again, click on store, and you'll find Ezekiel 1 through 5. I think it costs $11.50 for all five parts together. Well, let me see what else I'm supposed to tell. Oh, yeah. PDFs. You all know what a PDF, portable document files. If you aren't really wanting to even buy the book, you can go to the first in any series. Now, there's a series of Ezekiel part one. There's a series part two and so on. We're on the part four series now, and it doesn't say series there at the actual file that you're clicking on, but you'll know where you're at and where to find that by just looking through the different files. Anyway, there's every time there's a first in a series, I have attached to that recording a PDF file for that whole book. So there is a PDF file at the very beginning of Ezekiel in chapter one, audio one, I should say. There is a PDF file for all of part one. Then you scroll down a little bit until you can get to part two, and then there'll be another PDF file for all of part two. In fact, you can find the PDF file. Well, you can't find five yet because I haven't done five yet on the audio. But when I do that, I will put those both of those, part five and one through five, right here so that you can click and read them online if you like to do that. Of course, if you print them out, you might spend more money on the printing with all the paper and ink that's involved than just going ahead and clicking on store and taking care of it that way. Anyway, we have the works of other great men of God on this site. I do hope that you'll look for them, their stories, their words. We have North Korea audios. We have studies on the Quran and Muhammad and prophecy and through the Bible and so forth. 61 titles now of books. Just click on store and browse through and see what you can find there. And then there's a written blog right here every day, which is usually one of the books also, a little at a time. There's the Zoom meeting every Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. Just send me an email, men. I'll send you an invitation and a link to that Zoom meeting. And then Facebook friends, hey, look me up, Bob Faulkner in Niles, Illinois, and let's become Facebook friends. If you're the kind of person who likes to put things about the Lord on your Facebook entries, then I would like to be your friend. I'll be your friend anyway, normally, I mean, in real life. But I like Facebook friends who talk about the Lord. It kind of makes my day. I don't read the news much, and I don't want to be hearing the news always from my Facebook friends. I know where to get that. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.